Well, the body of Christ is so very important. It's not just a church that we come to on Sunday morning and we kind of like to come because we like the music or we like the preacher or we like the coffee or we like just the fellowship or we might see somebody we haven't seen for a while. That's not what the body of God is all about. That's not what the body Christ does. We are here for a purpose, and this is one part, small part of the body of God. And we are in a place to learn about how do we function? What do we do as the body of Christ? Because everybody has an important part. All the parts of your body are important, aren't they? If you have a pain in one area, you may have not even thought about that area for 6 or 7 years. But if you have a pain there, all of a sudden your focus is there. Now, I'm not saying that when you come here that you have a pain or people around you will be a pain to you. But what I'm saying is that every part of the body functions, and when it all functions in harmony, then you feel good, right? Do you feel good when it's sunny outside? Oh, yeah. Do you feel good when all your bills are paid and you actually have a few dollars? Yeah, you feel good. You feel good when there's harmony in the relationships in your family, kids are getting along with you, you know, husband and wife. That kind of feels good, right? Well, God wants the body of Christ to function like that, and then it's not enough for that to happen. You got to be doing something with this body. You got to be doing something to be effective, because that's why he created us. He just didn't create us to lay on the couch and eat bonbons and watch television. That's okay some days, but if that's all you do is get up in the morning and that's all your purpose is, that's wrong, because your body will atrophy, your muscles go kind of soft, and you just won't function well. You got to be doing something. And I'm not talking about workaholism or driven or anything like that. I'm just talking that there's a purpose for you, because God has a plan, and you're part of his plan. And so he's written in his word to us in different areas, and we've talked about the different gifts in Ephesians, the apostles and the teachers and the pastors and the prophets and the evangelists. And they're not in that order if you're looking this up right now. But I didn't teach them in that order either, so it's okay. It's actually okay not to teach them in the same order, because they don't sit in the same order in church. You know, this is the evangelists and this is the prophets, and you know, it doesn't work like it's kind of all mingled together. And so now he's shown us in the book of Romans, there's other gifts, and in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, there's even other gifts. And I want to help you identify those gifts, because I honestly believe that God has a plan for each and every person here. He's gifted each and every one of you, and he wants you to be fully participating in that, because you will be fulfilled with that. I remember when Elaine and I, we resigned our church in Parksville. We'd been there for 8 years, and we took a sabbatical. So we just kind of took some time off. We'd sold our house. We had some money. You know how things are really good then, right? Yes. Huh. You know, I didn't have to go to work. We were working on our degrees, and we traveled around North America a bit for some of the different courses that I needed. And so we were just having a great time. We grew larger than we were before, because we were pretty sedate in our lifestyle. We'd go for a walk, but it usually ended up at Tim Hortons or something like that. So that kind of erased the purpose of walking. So we kind of had a good time off. But after about 5 months, we just realized that we had to have something to get up for. We had to have a purpose. And so we said, okay, what does that mean? What are we supposed to do? And God just said, well, you need to go back in ministry. So we had a 5-month sabbatical, which was awesome. But you have to have a purpose. You have to get up in the morning for something. And God has a plan, so that he gave you that night's sleep so that you could get up in the middle of his day that he's already started to do something for the kingdom of God. Every one of you. And it doesn't have to be standing behind the pulpit preaching like this. It's where you do what you do through the day. Does that make any sense? We have a purpose, and we are fulfilled when we're in that purpose. So we're going to talk about one body, different gifts. So in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are the body of Christ when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You become the body of Christ and an important, equal place in that body. Nobody, even Billy Graham, is more important to God than you are. Well, you got to say, well, come on. Look what Billy Graham's done. Yeah, because I think he was obedient to what he was supposed to do. It's obvious he was. We can not be all Billy Graham's, but we can be used to the capacity that God wants us to be. And for God, it's equal with anybody who we think is successful in ministry. Do you get that? Or is that just kind of something that the preachers always say? Because I want you to get that. I want you to get that you're equal. I'm your pastor or one of your pastors, but you're equal with me. Did you know that? You have gifts that I don't have, and I have gifts that you don't have, but when we work them together, we have gifts that God needs to reach our world. And so that's what we want to expose you to in this. So in Romans 12, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your true and proper worship. Whoa, there's a whole series right there. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Well, you know that somebody said that the only problem with the living sacrifice is it crawls down from the altar. That's the problem with us, is we just kind of get close to it. And what God wants us to do is while we're alive, to give ourselves totally to him. Die to ourselves, it says in Romans 6. Die to ourselves and become alive in Christ. And so it doesn't mean that you don't have your plans and your dreams, but if you realize your plans and your dreams, if they're not self-focused, they're God's focus because he puts in you the desires of your heart. And you'll chase them. You'll give up everything to become what he wants you to be. That doesn't mean you have to go to deepest, darkest, the Congo or Africa or wherever it is and suffer in some area that you know that, it, you know, it, like it'd be miserable, so it must be God. Come on. You know, I'm in Richmond and I'm living in Steveston. That's pretty nice. I did tell him one time that, you know, I could suffer for you in Hawaii, but he said, no, that's okay. Living sacrifice. Self-focused Jim. He wants us to be holy. Well, how can I be holy? I mean, I kind of think bad thoughts, and I kind of have this language that squeaks out every once in a while, and I really don't have control over my temper. So how can I be holy? You're not holy because of who you are. You're holy because of who he is in you. And so all you have to do, it's really simple. Sure, here, buy my book. It's only 12 steps. Actually, it's only one step. A step back, one. And let him be front. That's all you have to do. Step back. And every time it rises up inside of you, when you're on the edge, say, that is not me. I am a new creation in Christ. Amen. And become holy through him. Don't try to slick your hair back, wear the right clothes, speak the right language. That is not holiness. That's legalism. And we are great for that. Pentecostals were great for that. Don't you dare work on the Sabbath. You make sure that everybody, no playing baseball. I wasn't in that. Play baseball on the Sabbath, you go right to hell. You should be stoned out on the field. Come on. So the kids would go to their friends who weren't Pentecostals and they'd play ball all afternoon. We can't legislate this kind of stuff. We need to fall in line with what Christ wants with our hearts. So if you play baseball on Sunday, it's okay. I don't recommend you do it between 10:30 and noon, unless you do it in here, okay? But this is true and proper worship because it comes from your heart. We can't do anything if it doesn't come from our heart, it's religion. And there's everybody sick of religion. Jesus was sick of the religious people. Matter of fact, I read the Gospels and I don't see Jesus going to church much except to stir things up. You ever thought about that? He goes to church and messes things up. He tips tables over and he argues with the priests and he says things like, well, it's been fulfilled in your eyes. What? That just sends them right through. It just sends them into a tizzy. They get crazy. Because he doesn't like religion. God does not want you to be religious. He just wants you to be in relationship with him. And when you're in relationship with him, you will live a life that is holy. You will live a life that is pleasing to him. And you will live a life that doesn't have a lot of anxiety and fear. Which I thought was pretty awesome, the way we led up to this sermon. So it says, continue, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Humble service in the body of Christ. Wow, this is a kicker, isn't it? What's the will of God for me in my life? And I remember when I first got saved, there was a teaching out then, there was a permissive will and a perfect will. So there's a two-tier system. So if you're in his perfect will, you made it. If you're just in his permissive will, he still blessed you and still loved you, but don't expect anything spectacular because it's the perfect will people that will get it. You are in his perfect will when you're obedient to him. That's it, cut and dried. So we need to transform ourselves out of this way of living, the way we were born and live in this world, and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And when you get this age, it's easier to renew your mind because it starts every morning. You just kind of go, oh, like, where did I park my car? There's a couple weeks ago, I left my car here because we'd gone somewhere in the evening. And I left my car right in front of the bus doors, because that's where we park, the staff parks. And I didn't think about it until I got home and we went to bed, and I got up in the morning and walked out in my street and I couldn't find my car. And I went, oh no, they towed it. And then I went, oh no, it's in front of the bus garage and it's already 8 o'clock and they're out by 7. So I wonder what they did. So I was quite excited to go to church to see if they towed my car. And I think there was a little bit of an argument there. That's the pastor's car. No, he wouldn't drive a car like that. It's a standard. He wouldn't drive a standard. We should tow it. No, we shouldn't tow it. I would have towed it. It wasn't supposed to be parked there. I just forgot. We need to have our mind renewed. We need to remember what God has got us up for in the morning. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. And please understand, he wants to bless the socks out of you all the way along through that perfect plan. And the perfection comes in obedience. In verse 3 it says, for by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So when we get into these gifts, don't start thinking like, you know what, God must love me more. Remember that? John said, I'm the disciple God loved. You know, everybody, God loves you, but I'm his favorite. Doesn't work like that. God doesn't have favorites. And so don't think of yourself, if you happen to be somebody who can lay hands on people and they instantly get healed. That's not you. That's him in you. Don't think about it if you have a word from God that changes somebody's life, that God just uses you as a funnel. That's not you. That's him in you. Don't think of yourself as high and lifted up. You are not high and lifted up anytime. He is high and lifted up. And at the proper time, he will exalt you, but he will not exalt you so that you can bathe in that. He doesn't want narcissism. You lucky people. You are so lucky I'm your pastor. Oh, I just feel sad that I can't pastor 4 or 5 churches so that they could be blessed like you are. Come on. Come on. It's not that at all. Nobody has any gift that is more important than the other gifts in the body of Christ. And if you are really good at what you do, it's because he's good at what he does through you, not you doing it. And some people start to learn, they start to read their own and believe their own advertising. They honestly do. And I've met a few of them that just, they just nauseate me. Because it's all about them and it's not about Christ. And it better be about Christ and him exalted. So with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So just think about that. We have different members of the body. We have five fingers and an arm. We have a foot and a toes. We have all sorts of things. Some people have web feet. They can swim better. They usually don't tell you they have web feet. Some people have six toes. If you have six fingers, it's really tough to get gloves. You have to buy mitts. Those are just a little thing. We all form one body, and we all need one another. I need you, and you need me. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. We have gifts. Remember we call that other series regifting? Because you get a gift, it's not for you to go, oh, this is all mine. This is for me. Actually, it's for you to give away. It's you to work in. And the more you give it away, the more you get it. It's crazy. It doesn't work the way that we naturally think of things. So let's look at the human body. It says in Genesis 2:7, it says, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust, the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and this man became a living being. I try to picture that. I try to picture him just kind of gathering a bunch of dust up. And it wasn't in Eden either. He said, because he created him and then placed him in Eden. So he just kind of alongside the road, maybe didn't have roads then, I don't know. But he had some dirt. And he just kind of made the shape. Did he make a mud pie man? Like, I don't know. Like, and did he, like, how did he form him? Like, you know, like, well, this is fun. You know, I'm going to, and then I'll make him like 6 feet long. How did he know how to make him? How did he know? Of course, he knows everything. And then what he did is he made little nose. Yeah, he did, because he had to breathe into him somehow, right? So he did CPR right away. Like, how about that? He didn't have an AED, but he had the power. He didn't need an AED because he had the Holy Spirit, right? So he went into that little nose. It's a wonder he didn't blow the little nose away because it was still dirt, right? I don't know about you, but as a paramedic, there's lots of times when I did CPR on people. And I remember when you're trained, you do the with Annie the doll, Annie. And you come up and you go, Annie, are you all right? And you squeeze her nose and you blow into her mouth. And that's the way you're supposed to be trained. So I was trained and never did CPR anybody. So I went, one of the first calls I went out to the park and there was a guy laying there and he phoned it in. And I went up and I almost called him Annie. Because, you're trained, right? I said, are you all right? Are you all right? And he goes, yes. And I go, what do you do now? Because you're not supposed to hear yes. You're supposed to hear nothing. And then you start. When they say yes, you don't have a protocol for that. He was just drunk and upset that I woke him up. Jesus blew, God blew into Adam's nose. And it stayed together, and he became a living being. He breathed the spirit of life into him. He has breathed the spirit of life into you. And then he's given you the power through the Holy Spirit to do what he's called you to do. So here's some stuff about the human body. The human body is estimated to have 60,000 miles of blood vessels. 60,000 miles. For every pound of fat that you have, you can add, I don't know, 1,700 or some miles onto it. Like, I'm a road map. Nerve impulses to and from the brain travel as fast as 170 miles an hour. Imagine that, bing, 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 like that. Every day, the average person loses 6 to 100 strands of hair. And you can tell that as you get to my age. You know that those hairs are going somewhere. I go and get my hair cut as much as I can while I still have it. I don't even care what the haircut looks like. I just am so pleased that I can sit in the barber's chair because I'm qualified still. Sneezes regularly exceed 100 miles an hour. That's why your eyes bulge. You know how those people go, like, I can never do that. First it blew my hand away, and then it was like my eyes came out of my head. There, you're trying to hold back 100 miles an hour. Don't do it. Your nose can remember 50,000 different scents. 50,000. Our eyes are always the same size from birth, but your nose and ears never stop growing. So try to picture yourself when you're 100. Little beady eyes. By 60 years of age, 60% of men and 40% of women will snore. Maybe I got that wrong. And some of us have been practicing way before we get to 60, let me tell you. It takes 17 muscles to smile and 43 to frown, so you might as well smile. It's a lot easier on you. And every day, an adult body produces 300 billion new cells. That's why you feel so heavy in the morning. That's it. That's the problem. We don't need to go on diets. We need to go in a decelerization plan. And it's not possible to tickle yourself. You thought about that? Probably not. We're about 1 centimeter taller in the morning than we are in the evening. So if you're going to measure yourself, do it then. Because everything kind of crushes down through the day. And then this is awesome. A fetus acquires fingerprints at the age of 3 months. Isn't that beautiful? That the identity, the fingerprint, at 3 months determines that person and distinguishes that person from everyone else. So let's get back to this body. I just gave you that because the body is so unique and different. There's so many things that go on. I love the whole idea when I was a paramedic studying the different systems of the body, how they all work together. It's amazing, isn't it, Tracy? Tracy's just on that course, and some of you else maybe too. It's just fascinating to know what the body can do, how God has created it. It just didn't come together as a big bang, and then we crawled out of a marsupial swamp, and then all of a sudden, here we are. Like, if that was possible, we should be way better off than we are. Because that was a long time ago, and we've just come to this point. We should still be doing it. We should be changing. So maybe hang around the swamps and see if it works. You're created in His image, not in the image of some big explosion that just happened to get us the way we are. We are created in the image of God. Isn't that awesome? Amen. So here it is. We are in the body of Christ. Verse 12 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12 says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. One body of believers. Not names. Pentecostal, Baptist, Anglican. Not independent, not any of that. That's just tags that we put on. That's our own labels. God did not ever have English. English, I'm sorry for the people that are trying to learn English and trying to learn it from me. That's why the teachers have such a hard time. We don't have different names according to God. We are in one body. Catholic, Anglican, Baptist, Episcopalian, I don't care who you are. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are in the body of Christ. And when Christ comes back, and I believe He's coming back soon, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon to catch up His church. And in the meantime, He wants us to be a functioning part of His church, touching and changing lives so that they'll change and they'll come with us when he comes to get his church. We're baptized by one Spirit as so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we are given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one but many parts. Each one of you is a part of that. Now, are you going to have differences? You think? That's why we have Pentecostal Anglicans, Baptists, and Mennonites, and everybody else. We have them because we all have these different ways of looking at it. Even a Salvation Army, they cut a piece out of the kingdom to work, or the world to work in the kingdom, and they do a phenomenal job, but they don't agree with everything that we agree with. And that's okay, because they do agree with one thing, that you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to get into heaven. And when we get there, all the other stuff doesn't matter. There's nothing that matters except Jesus Christ when we get to glory. Right now, it's just tools to bring other people in. And that's why we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, because they're alive today and they're needed today, and we are going to be people who use those gifts so that we can bring people to him. So here's some of them, and we'll just kind of go over this for you. In Romans 12, it says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. And we'll go into that quite a bit when we'll teach on that. If it's serving, then serve. Some people are like, oh, all I do is I just want to help people. I just want to serve. That's not it. That doesn't make your gift any less than somebody else's. I want to serve. That's what you need to think. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Do those things. And there's a little bit of exhortation with each one of those. And 1 Corinthians 12 is a whole other list. It says, to the one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, and that's actually the gift of the gifts of healing. Some people are just, it's amazing. They can just come up, touch somebody, and that person's healed. Another thing that's really amazing is when people come to Jesus Christ and accept him and accept his forgiveness, they're healed right now. They're set free. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. There's prophecy again. We had it as prophets. We have prophesying and we have prophecy. We're going to talk about why Paul really emphasizes these three gifts, or this gift, in three different ways. To another, the distinguishing between spirits, or the discernment of spirits. People, we need to be able to discern spirits. We need to know when something doesn't feel right inside, that you need to be really wary. You need to be cautious. You need to also know that when you're in a room like this, that there can be demonic spirits that are here. You say, oh no, can't be. This is a church. Why would there be demonic spirits? Well, there's demonic spirits that come in. There are people who are planted to come in to destroy. There's people to come in to confuse. You need to be able to discern that, and you need to be able to move on that. Then there's to another, it says, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. That's different than the praise language that we pray for, that you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a tongues, and we've had it here before, and then somebody needs to interpret that. If somebody doesn't interpret that, something wrong. Somebody's either afraid to interpret it, or somebody shouldn't have said the tongues out. And I won't go into that. We'll teach on that. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. You don't get to pick them. Oh, I really like the healing one. Oh, I'd like to have a word from the Lord so I could tell people what they need to do. Oh, I wish I could do that one. I wish I could do this one. He doesn't do that. He speaks into your heart, and he will give you the plan that has to do with your gift, And my purpose and my whole plan in moving us forward in this is that we would become all equipped to do what he wants us to do so that we're mobilized to bring the kingdom of Christ into this area. And we can reach out in the power of the Holy Spirit to touch lives so that they come to Christ, not to us. Because this is what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become, in every aspect, the mature body of him who is the head. Isn't that beautiful? None of us are the head of this body. None of us. The denominational kings, the denominational people, there's nobody that's the head of this body. It's him. It's Christ. From him, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Look, we all work and support one another. There's all these muscles. Even when I'm walking around like this, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but we have little valves in our blood system that have to return the blood up into our heart so it can get purified and then or back and through our lungs and get purified to go back in our hearts. There's little foot valves all the way up here. I don't know where they are exactly, but there's little foot valves. And so when you walk, the muscles in your legs and the muscles in your feet squeeze that up. And it squeezes it up and like just like an elevator, squeezes it up and goes into your lungs and gets purified and goes back through your system. Because gravity will take over if you don't have that. And you won't be able to. You'd have to lay with your feet up all the time so that the blood could run back through your lungs. Isn't that great? Maybe you're a foot valve. You're really important. I think you're more than a foot valve. So every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We need to be a healthy body that's working together. If I could have the team come back up, please. Does this make any sense? Do you kind of feel like part of this body? Do you feel like you have a gift? Do you feel that God wants you to be a participant in this? Like, there's so much work to be done. And I'm not saying, you know, if you don't do this work, then you're just not important. What I'm saying is that you have this opportunity to do this. Isn't that great? Like, God wants to use every one of you. And you go, well, some of you might go, hey, you know what? He probably doesn't want to use me until I clean this area up. Well, then maybe this morning's time for you to come forward and get that area cleaned up. But he doesn't love you any less because you need an area that's cleaned up. Maybe you don't feel that adequate. You don't feel like, well, I don't have that power. I don't spend enough time in prayer. I don't spend enough time in the Word. You know what? He will use you in spite of yourself. But the more he uses you, the more you'll be drawn to him. And your relationship with him will grow. It's all about you and him first. It's all about you and him. It's all about you and him. I want you to stand.